you know, the day we missed it, 12 hour fast start at 7 o'clock, as long as it's outside 12 hour. In the open Texas, today is, today is February the 28th, 26th, or is the 12th day of Adar 2029. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day. We're going to do the Shepherd Rod Volume 1 again, the track. And it says, what is it for the primary purpose of the Shepherd Rod? Is for the unlocking of a long concealed mystery concerning the ever challenging and much discussed subject of the 144,000 Revelation 14 months, with the central object in view of the bringing about among Yahweh's people the thorough reformation foretold by the Spirit of Prophecy, Testimonies Volume 8, page 251. These are truths divinely revealed of the supreme importance for the church. Now, Brevity Hall, he's talking about the Seventh-day Adventist church now, not in the 30s. Just now, because of the trying shifting circumstances through which Yahweh's people are soon to pass, being vital concern for the salvation, for the call for the decided action from the ministry and laity alike, for the separating themselves from all of the worldliness, and for the anchoring themselves onto the solid rock by the obedience unto all of the truth known to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. If they would escape the forthcoming ruin, that is, to take every sinner for his doctrinal, for his dominant doctrinal concern, then the truth of the 144,000 and a correct understanding of it being a life and death matter unto all, the rod unfolds it from the several different angles, each urging the denomination for the preparing for the glorious deliverance of the saints and against the inglorious destruction of the sinners as foretoken by the marking and the slaying recorded in Ezekiel 9. No new denomination is advocated. On the contrary, such is unmitigatedly opposed, and finally irrefutable proof is brought forth that the Seventh-day Adventist denomination has been the instrumentality of Yahweh since 1844 for the turning on of his work on the earth, and that the rod adds the power and force unto the third angel's message, early writing, page 77. For the purporting to be as the antitype of the first Exodus is with the shepherd's rod taking its name from the Moses' rod as the instrument through which the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, manifested his power in the deliverance of the children of the Israel the shepherd rod as the only rod that has ever spoken is predicted and recommended in the Micah 6:9. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And I'll go back and read the parentheses for the one word, him. Hear ye the rod, and him, the one who hath appointed it. For this is the first revised being, no, let's read this again. Being as the first revised edition of the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, originally published in 1930, for the making of the Shepherd's Rod a handy pocket size book, points since dealt with in the other numbers of this series of the publication have been omitted and its subject matter condensed. And the compliance with the Yeshua's command, we should now, with the open ears, hear the rod's message. That's first title is entitled The Sealing of the First Gate, the 144,000. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servant of our Yahweh in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 7:2-4. For the mystery concerning the sealing of the 144,000 is probably pure unto any vexed Bible subject. For the theory has the crowded theory only the more to mystify and confuse the truth of it. For no Christian denomination seems to have escaped the controversy which in the giving the rise unto many divergent views has only increased in the rift of the Protestant views. For this has been exceedingly regrettable, and very much the more so among us Adventists, for long ago the messenger of the Yeshua, John the Baptist, admonished us admonished us for the striving with all the power that the Yahweh has given us to be among the 144,000. And she published that in 1905. And then graciously placed in our hands the necessary knowledge for the time then present as to when and where, why and what the sealing is. For this sealing of the sons of Yahweh, the Yahweh reveal is the same that was shown unto Ezekiel in the vision, Testimony to Ministry, page 445. really exist or not. And in the amplification of the subject, the messenger wrote, especially in the closing work for the church and the sitting time of the 144,000 who are to stand without the fall before the Son of Yahweh, will they feel most deeply the wrongs of Yahweh's professed people. Testimony, Volume 3, page 266. Accordingly, the marking takes place in the Seventh-day Adventist Church because of the abominations practiced in her midst. Hence the removal of those who foster the abomination is her closing word, not the world. With this true knowledge in the hand, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was to have gone on enlightenedly with the progress of the truth and at the appointed time be enabled for the unlocking of the mystery. Failing to obey the voice of Yahweh, thus to walk in the light and for the advancing kind of knowledge, the knowledge, she lost her way and consequently has for years wandered in the wilderness of the spirit, so to speak. And while she was in the confusion on the subject, the spirit of the truth pronounced silence on it then to be eloquent. But eloquence for how long? Forever? Obviously not. Only until Yahshua himself, the Son of Yahweh, should unroll the scroll with the sealing commencing and the subject becoming the present truth. Then silence can no longer be eloquent, and the fact not even possible. Not if there are ever to be 144,000 sealed and made ready for the standing with the Lamb on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1. For a thoroughgoing knowledge of the subject must necessarily be of as great importance as is a comprehensive knowledge of the Daniel 7, Revelation 13, and Revelation 17. For the three angels' messages of the Revelation 14 or any other revealed Bible mystery or prophecy, and how can one escape the slaughter unless one knows what the sealing marking is, when it is, and where it is to be. So while on the one hand is seen the utter necessity and hence the absolute certainty of the inspiration fully unfolding the subject at the time of the closing work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that took place at the Passover commencing at the Passover 2002 at Kermit Church's Gilead Center, Brother W. Johnson the head, and the atonement of 2002. On the other hand, it is seen the consequent utter impossibility of anyone discovering the whole truth beforehand. Okay. Any thinker knows that they have made known the truth of it before time would have left it as vain, valueless, and ineffective as would make it known the truth about the image of the beast years before or a minute after it does its deceptive work. But at the striking of the foreordained hour, the time that inspiration unlocks the mystery, all can behold the truth and profit by it. Happily, we can then intelligently strive to be among the godless, godless company. And can be sealed with them if we sincerely and steadfastly follow on to know the truth on time. When someone asks, will this closing work for the church begin? When someone asks, will this closing work for the church? And so they left out a word. Let's do this again, a third time. When someone asks, when will this closing work for the church begin? Obviously, it is already in the progress, for the light is pouring in upon the subject with the dispelling of the darkness which has long enveloped it, having consequently become present too, for the lighting of the way in which the 144,000 are to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Revelation 14:4. It must be proclaimed as from the housetops. In 1844, is all Seventh-day Adventists know Ellen G. White was given a vision of the 144,000 with the signaling of the sealing angels starting his ascent from the east, Revelation 7:2-4. From then on, he was ascending, and the saints were awaiting his arrival. Finally, in 1929, through the Sabbath school lesson, the Yeshua announced throughout the Seventh-day Adventist denomination that the angel had arrived. Then the scroll began to unroll, and the angel's presence to be felt by the many of those who were agonizing for the truth and righteousness. But how can we know for sure, another question, that this and companion publications are the genuine fruit of the unrolling of the scroll and of the sitting angels arrival? Simply, if the claimant herein on trial is vindicated by all the relevant scripture and other inspired testimony, and if it is, then as the only admissible conclusion is that the divinely appointed and long awaited hour has struck, and that this literature is the instrument used by the inspiration for the making of the event known unto the Yahweh's people. Since, as we have previously seen from the spirit of the prophecy, the sealing and the slaughter take place in the church during the closing work for her, for they could not antedate the present time, and the prophecy itself shows that the sealing must begin at a time when her spiritual life is at its lowest ebb, when she is polluted with the sin and the exceeding great iniquity, Ezekiel 9:9. For it is her defiled condition that causes a holy Yahweh to do in her midst the work of the marking, sealing of the saints, and of the doing away with the sinners among them. How did she start to reach this condition? ? For the servant of the Yahweh, easy wife, sadly answered, for the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, has not closed heaven unto us, only our own course of the continual backsliding has separated us from the Yahweh, for the pride, covetousness, and love of the world have lived in the heart without the fear of the banishment or condemnation. Grievous and presumptuous sins have dwelt among us, and yet the general opinion is that the church is flourishing and that peace and the spiritual prosperity are in all of her borders. For the SDA church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of the spiritual power, doubt, and even disbelief of the testimony that the Spirit of Yahweh is leavening our churches everywhere. Testimony 25:2:17. For we have wandered away from the old landmarks. Let us return. If the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, be our Redeemer, Savior by His blood, then serve Him. If Baal, then serve Him. Which side will you be on? And that's Testimony 5:137. As Yahshua views the state of his professed followers today, he sees the base in gratitude with the hollow formalism by the hypocritical insincerity, or with the hypocritical insincerity, with the pharisaical pride and apostasy. That would be also Volume 5, page 72. Who can truly say our gold is tried in the fire? Our garments are unspotted by the world. I saw our instructor pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said unto me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of their character? How is the take for pity becoming haunted. For my father's house is made a house of the merchandise, as a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause, there is weakness and strength is lacking. That's why it's volume 8, page 250. For the time has come for the earnest and powerful effort to rid the church of the sun and filled with its tarnishing. Her purity, testimony to ministers, 450. Thus, with the humiliating certainty, we are made to see and to acknowledge that the condition of the church is deplorable in the sight of Yahweh, Testimony, Volume 3, page 52. And it is a mournfully admitted fact among all the informed and honest throughout the denomination that though she has for years been steadily declining spiritually, she has never hitherto reached her present low level, where she retains scarcely any of her former distinctions from the world. For the spiritual death, laments the voice of the inspiration, has come upon the people that should be manifesting life and zeal, purity, and consecration by the most earnest devotion for the cause of the truth. For the facts concerning the real condition of the professed people of Yahweh speak more loudly than their profession, and make it evident that some power has cut the cable that has anchored them to this eternal rock, and that they are drifting away to sea without the chart or compass. That's in Christ our Righteousness, page 36. Men and women are in the last hours of the probation, and yet are careless and stupid, and the ministers have no power for the rousing them, for they are asleep themselves, sleeping preachers preaching unto a sleeping people. That's my volume 3, page 337. Indeed, the conviction is gaining ground in the world that the Seventh-day Adventists are giving the trumpet an uncertain sound, that they are following in the path of the worldlings, Testimonies to Ministers, 86. For all these and for other reasons, some of which we know not, is a pure and holy Yahweh. Let's read that again. For all these and for the other reasons, some of which we know not, a pure and holy Yahweh is with the wetting of his sword in the heaven for the cutting down of those who do not sigh and cry. Oh, that every lukewarm professor could realize the clean work that Yahweh the Father is about to make among his professed people. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 190, E.G. White. Mark this point with a care. Those who receive the pure mark of the truth wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by a mark by the man in linen, are those that sigh and that cry for all of the abominations that be done in the church. Testimony, Volume 3, page 267. For the seal of the Yahweh will be placed upon the foreheads of those only who sigh and cry for all of the abominations done in the land. Volume 5 of 212. Necessarily, while the investigative judgment is going forward in the heaven, while the sins of the penitent believers are being removed from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of the purification of the putting away of the sins among Yahweh's people upon the earth. The Great Controversy 425. Now that this special work is on, there is doubt no longer that the days of the purification of the SDA Church are hastening on apace for the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will have a people pure and true in the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measuring of the strength of Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will manifest that his plan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. In another memorable vision of this same, a crucial work, Sister White saw angels hurrying to and fro in the heaven, descending onto the earth, and again ascending into heaven, for the preparing of the fulfillment of some important event. Then I saw another mighty angel. She continues, commissioned to descend to the earth for the uniting of his voice with the third angel and for the giving of his power and force unto his message, that of the third. Great, for the great power and glory were imparted unto the angel, and as he descended, the earth was lightened with his glory. For this message seems to be an addition unto the third angel's message. Early writings, page 277. And only those that savors the spirit. Okay, let's read that again. And only those that savors the spirit of the truth, who have withstood temptation and the strength of the mighty one, will be permitted for the acting a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message when it has swelled into the loud cry. So it says, the Review and Herald, November the 19th, 1908. For the great issue so near at hand will weed out those whom the Yahweh has not appointed, and he will have a pure, true, sanctified ministry prepared for the latter rain. B-55-1886-EG White. Why are the sinners taken from among the righteous before the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel, of the fifth angel, Revelation 18:1, that's the four, because one sinner may diffuse darkness that will exclude the light of Yahweh from the entire congregation. Testimony, Volume 3, page 265. For the clear sequence of the facts here brought to you conclusively points out that we are now in the closing work for the SDA Church and the sealing time of the 144,000, that the sealing, marking, sifting, shaking, special work, important event, closing work, and purification all result alike in the destruction of the unsealed and in the purification of the sealed. Yes, this is the preparation for the time of the trouble. With the loud cry, with the closing word for the world. Obviously then, the closing message for the world is proclaimed by the faithful only, and Yahweh's people during the plagues are apart by themselves with no unfaithful among them. So the subject of the 144,000, with his interrelated subjects coming into the clear, a harmonious focus, shows that the 11th hour call for the laborers in the Yahshua's vineyard is now in the progress, and that now is the time for the striving with all of the power that Yahweh has given us to be among the 144,000. Beginning here March 9, 1905. And now this identification of the 144,000 has caused the identity of the great multitude, Revelation 7:9, to become almost as mooted a question. So, the responsibility assumed in this series for the identifying of the former with the first fruits imposes a commensurate responsibility for the identifying of the latter, the second fruits, the great multitude. This is our next subtitle. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all of the nation, and kindred, and people, and tongue, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Revelation 7:9. Leading for the identification of this great multitude is with the inspiration given of several clues. One is as a classification of the redeemed of all ages, from the martyrdom of Abel unto the close of the probation. Group one, nearest the throne, are those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan, but who, plucked as the brands from the burning, have followed their Savior with the deep, intense devotion. Number two, next are those who perfected Christian characters in the midst of the falsehood and infidelity, those who honored the law of Yahweh, when the Christian world declared it void. Group 3, and the millions of all ages who were martyred for their faith. Group 4, and beyond is the great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and centuries and people and tongues, before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with a white robe and palms in their hands. The Great Controversy, page 665. Here is a momentous question, precious, for the answer. Let's read that again. For here is a momentous question that presses for the answers. Since we are plainly shown that the great multitude, group 4, are a company separate from the plucked brands, group 1, from the overcomers of the falsehood and infidelity, group 2, and from the martyrs of all time, group 3, how can the great multitude possibly be composed of the saints of all ages, of all the redeemed? Very obviously, they cannot. Consequently, if they are not group 1, 2, or 3, then who can they be but the living saints? And since they are not the 144,000, the first fruits of the living, they must then be the second fruits. Indeed, there must be the second fruits, for the term first fruits calls for the second fruits just as much as the term first resurrection, Revelation 20, verse 6, calls for a second resurrection. And as much as the term second death, Revelation 20:14, calls for a first death, nevertheless, still another baffling question requires an answer. If the Yahshua's query, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth, Luke 18:8, also his statement, fear not, little flock, Luke 12:32, means that few are to be saved and found living when he comes for his own, then how can there be an innumerable multitude? The question mark. Though at first glance, the question propounds a paradox. It is quickly resolved. And the idea that only a few living saints are to meet him in the air is effectively dissipated when account is taken of the fact that the harvest truly is plenteous, Matthew 9:37, that it is the end of the let's read that again. And the idea that only a few living saints are to meet Yahshua in the air is effectively dissipated when account is taken of the fact that the harvest truly is plenteous, Matthew 9:37, that it is in the end of the 12th parabolic hour of the world, Matthew 13:39, and that the very term harvest itself denotes a larger gathering than at any previous season. Furthermore, the query, shall he find faith on the earth, is not questioning the number of the saints at this particular coming. but rather faith itself regardless of the number. And if at his appearing in the clouds to take home the faithful, he finds no faith in the earth, then what about his waiting church, which is to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, be it small or great? Obviously, his coming recorded in the Luke 18:8 cannot be the one of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, for his coming in the clouds, by his coming in the clouds, but it could be the one of Malachi 3:2-3, and Matthew 13:30-48, leading to Matthew 25:31-33, for his coming to his temple is to separate the sinners from the saints at the commencement of which time inspiration asks, who may abide the day of his coming? And now, in the prophet's own words, comes the overall evidence of the ingathering of a great multitude of the living saints during the harvest time. And they, the 144,000 who escaped the slaying, are abide the day, Isaiah 6:16, and the separation of the tares from the wheat, Matthew 13:30-31, for the harvest of the first fruits, Revelation 14:4, the servants of the Yahweh, Revelation 7:3, shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, out of all nations, upon the horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon the mules, and upon the swift beasts, unto my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel unto the house of the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh. Isaiah 66:20. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel 2:35. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yeshua's house, the Son of Yahweh, shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, and unto the house of the Father Yahweh of Jacob, Isaiah 2:2-3, keeping these correlative forecasts steadily in view, none but the blind can fail, for the seeing that the idea of only a few saved is true only of the number saved during any pre-harvest message-bearing period, not though of the number saved during the harvest time itself. For the great multitude, the second priest of the living saint, moreover, also found projected in a certain demonstration in the type. For the great multitude, the second priest of the living saints, moreover, are also found projected in a certain demonstration. Nomination and the type. For the Moses, number one, for the Moses upon the Mount of the Transfiguration was a witness for the Yeshua's victory over the sin and death. He represented those who shall come forth from the grave at the resurrection of the just. This is our Isaiah page 421. and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. This is number two. Let's read that again. Number two. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints that slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Matthew 27:52-53. See early writings 184 and Desire of Ages 786. Number three, for the Elijah who had been translated to heaven without the sin and death represented those who will be living upon the earth at the Yahshua's second coming, and who will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Desire of Ages 4:21. And number four, as Enoch was translated to heaven before the destruction of the world by the water, so the living righteous will be translated from the earth before the destruction by the fire. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 89. In these passages we are shown four types calling for the two companies of the resurrected saints and for the two companies of the translated saints. Since there are two types for the living, and as Enoch himself was not a descendant of Jacob, he cannot logically represent Jacob's descendants, the 144,000, and the fact the name Jacob, or the title Israelite, did not even come into existence until centuries after the Enoch was translated. Accordingly, Elijah and Israelite himself logically typifies the 144,000, and Enoch logically typifies the great multitude who are from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, Revelation 7:9, because from his generation have descended all the nations at their master's final call, then appear in the beautiful symmetry as the trophies of the gospel, with the two hosts of the resurrected with their types, and with the two hosts of the translated with their types. Oh, what an ineffable, wondrous, and awesome sight, with the glorious host of the redeemed sweeping through the portals of the glory and marching down the gold-paved street of the paradise into the strains of the celestial anthems which the mortal ear has never heard. Parade of the parades, behold it pass. That's the first, the millions of the escorting angels who ministered unto the redeemed in all ages. This is our third subtitle, Parade of the Parades, behold it pass. Let's read that first, the millions of the escorting angels who ministered unto the redeemed of all ages. Second, Moses as the first inspired penman, general and leader, peerless among men, clothed in the white and crowned with a glittering golden crown, leading the van of the resurrected themselves wearing white robes and golden crowns. Third, Abel, first among the martyrs, leading the martyred host of the ages, all clad in the glorious white robe with the borders of the red. Fourth, Enoch, his head encircled with the dazzling white wreath, surrounded with a lovely crown brighter than the sun, and upon his arm a glorious palm, and following him a great multitude, all clothed in the pure white robe, with the palms in their hands, and golden crowns on their heads. Fifth, Elijah, the faithful, arrayed in a glorious white mantle from his shoulders to his feet, leading the 144,000 as a royal priesthood, all like himself, attired in the glorious white mantle. Sixth, the Adams, the sons of Yahweh, from the worlds of Yahweh's universe, with the father Adam and the vine. Seventh, Yahshua, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the majesty of all creation, the first and the last, and with him 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000 thousands of angels. Throughout the infinite expanse of the eternity, never before has heaven beheld, and never again will it behold the like, a procession supernal. Brother, sister, it is ours to choose either the habiliments of the saved or the sacraments of the lost, either to walk with the ransomed in white or to lie down with the damned in blood. If it be the latter, Yahweh be forbid that it should be, then the dreadful price must be not the first death alone, but also the second death, from which there is no relief. Yes, which will it be? Shrieking, lamentations in the lake of the unquenchable fire, or the rapturous song at the fount of the unquenchable joy? Now at the last hour you will have to choose either the company of the Esau or the Jacob, which, that's our next subtitle.